Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We've made it to the middle of the week, and glad you are with us. And man, we've got a lot happening today, including an update from Columbus, where C.J. Stroud had his pro day one day ahead of Bryce Young, who will be the number one pick by the Carolina Panthers. We'll find out a little bit later on. Let's get to some headlines right now. Nanotes says San Diego State has an advantage on us in the Sweet 16. And everybody agrees, even though nobody thinks San Diego State is going to win. We're good enough to beat Alabama. Well, sure. I'm good enough to do a lot of things, but I'm probably not going to. Alabama is 85% chance, according to the analysis, to beat San Diego State. Tennessee's not far behind. I mean, those are prohibitive favorites for a Sweet 16 game. Mismatches, you might call them. Might call that exactly in the opposite way for Arkansas, as UConn is a big, big favorite to beat them. Brandon Miller is not among the finalists for the Naismith National Player of the Year. And I don't know why we're even talking about this, because how could you have a National Player of the Year award and not include Brandon Miller? And my, oh my, remember yesterday Nick Saban taking shots across the bow? Well, look who showed up today at Bama practice, all smiles, the GOAT. Alabama basketball Twitter page was there to snap the pictures as Nick Saban came to wish Nate Oates and the team a fond farewell as they head off to Louisville for the Sweet 16. My, oh, my. I can't believe anybody thought there was a rub there. I wonder when the last time Nick Saban showed up at a practice was. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. We're talking about royalty now. Let's move on. Nobody wants to move on? We will move on to your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we begin in West Virginia. Almost heaven. Ken is up next in Nick Saban's home state.
Yeah, Nick Saban and the other guy is from here, too. Good to talk to you, Paul. Everything okay?
Who's the other guy?
Isn't it Kiffin? Isn't he from West Virginia?
Pray not.
There's another coach in the.
Jimbo. Jimbo Fisher is from West Virginia. Jimbo Fisher is from West Virginia.
Jimbo, yeah, Jimbo.
The other guy.
That's the other guy.
So are about 25 other coaches, like Bobby Bowden. He was born in Birmingham, but he spent a lot of time. I think Holt is from West Virginia.
Yep. The show started yesterday with Saban reading a statement about the regarding the football player that got in a little difficulty. And there was a lot of comment from a couple of your guests about how Saban always prepares his notes and everything. I'll bet my welfare check against yours that statement was written by the university I just wanted you to comment, but I'll bet it was written by the university to avoid another fiasco.
Yeah, Ken, I will bet my are you talking about what Nick Saban said yesterday in relation to his own player?
That's right, yeah.
And you said you will bet your welfare check against mine that the university wrote that. I will bet my welfare check that Nick Saban wrote that himself.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think the university wrote it.
I don't think the university writes anything for Nick Saban other than a big fat check at the end of every week. Let's talk to David next in Alabama. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, David. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I want to talk to you, Brandon Miller. If after all the tournament is over, I don't think there's a chance he'll come back. I wish there was, but do you think it would do him good to come back to prove to the NBA teams that he's trustworthy?
Let me make this simple, okay? Brandon Miller right now is projected as the number two player in the NBA draft. Now, that all depends on the lottery and particular needs. So, I mean, he is going to be a top three NBA player. He wouldn't prove anything by coming back. He can prove that in the NBA. And besides, I don't think he has anything to prove. So the odds of him coming back are close to zero.
That's what I thought. But, I mean, if the NBA were, like, cautious about
they're not, but yeah but David they're not going to be the NBA does have a little more integrity than some sports when it comes to disciplining its own players, but Brandon Miller is a standalone player. I think most everybody outside of a bunch of loudmouth columnists and pundits feel like he has done enough in his answers to authorities to move on from the tragedy that occurred in January. Thank you very, very much. Rick is in Houston. Hello, Rick. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Did you hear about the time that Jim and Legend went to the Alabama football game together?
I did not.
So they went to the football game. Man, it was so packed they couldn't sit together. They decided to meet up at halftime and get a Coke. Halftime rolls around, Jim stands up and yells, "Legend, let's go get a Coke." Nothing. Again he yells, "Legend, let's go get a Coke." Nothing. Guy sitting next to Jim hands him some binoculars. Jim looks around, spots Legend over there way across the field and says, real quiet like, "Legend, let's go get a Coke."
I always say to the folks that we work with here that the first 20, 30 minutes are the most dangerous part of the day, and it always comes true. Pat is next up in Georgia. Pat is what we call a safe caller. We know where he's going.
Hey, Paul, thank you very much. One clarification before I talk about Saban and Oates. In your opinion, the Alabama football player who was involved in street racing and was dismissed from the team, was he a quality player on the football team that Miller was and is on the basketball?
No. I believe he was an incoming player. So it was more in terms of expectations and projections than it was anything else.
Okay. Well, and that's what I thought it was, but I did want to clarify that. Saban, in saying there's no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, which is what I think he said, it's easier for him to do the right thing if he determined that was the right thing because he's got 6 national championships. I don't think that Nate Oates has any yet. He's probably going to have one.
In fact, quite frankly, there's only one correlation you could even make, and that would be during the season or if Bryce Young had found himself in the identical situation, what would Nick Saban have done? But other than that, let's establish a couple of things that we don't know to be fact, but we could assume that are. Nick Saban knew what he was saying. You couldn't be living in that town and not know about what Nate Oates had said and the controversy surrounding it. I don't think he was necessarily taking. First of all, he doesn't care about Nate Oates. He cares about Nick Saban, and he cares about his program. And he just decided to make an example. The comments just came together however he chose, but he was all about looking like he was in charge. And his players aren't going to get away with that, even though, there are many who would quibble about past discipline issues. Saban came out the winner yesterday.
Well, let me make one observation, and I agree with you, but one observation. Saban has set the bar for something to go wrong in the 23 football season. And he set the bar, so somebody screws up.
Well, but something else he did, Pat? Instead of taking heat like Kirby Smart has taken for some of the problems that he's had, and again, we're talking about a situation that resulted in two people dying, so it's a far more serious situation than the player that Saban was referring to. But instead of people saying, what kind of players are Nick Saban recruiting? Nobody mentioned that. All they're saying is, Nick Saban standing up for what's right. It's the advantage of incumbency. You hear that as a political term, but Nick Saban is always going to get the benefit of the doubt. We're heading to a break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
John Wertheim will join us in the next hour, an editor at Sports Illustrated, Lewis Riddick as well. Rittenberg in the final hour. Remember this yesterday, Cam Newton throwing at Auburn? He said originally he was throwing for NFL scouts. He later, it was later amended to the fact that he was there for his brother. Doesn't really matter why he was there. He did draw the attention, and it looks like Cam. Cam could always throw okay. It was just Yeah, it remains a mystery, really, why not a single NFL club picked up Cam Newton, but there's always the XFL. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Don is in Birmingham.
There you go. Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Don.
Let's put a little good news here at the start of the show for to get the ball rolling that way a little bit. So, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the men's wheelchair basketball team from the University of Alabama won the national championship over the last weekend.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and to top that, the women's wheelchair basketball team last week won the national championship for the fourth time in a row.
And they were from Alabama as well?
Yeah, University of Alabama. Yeah, they're students at Alabama. And,
okay.
The women's team, this is the fourth year in a row to win it. And the men's team went out to Wisconsin and brought it home.
Well, I was unaware of that. Well, I certainly, Don, appreciate you sharing that with all of us, and congratulations to them. Matt is next.
Hey, brother, how you doing? I heard Jimbo Fisher's press conference yesterday. He seemed like a little hostile when you asked him about Bobby Petrino. I know he answered it. I want your thoughts on that. And I think it's stupid he's doing a quarterback battle. What's your thoughts? Before you answer that, I want to say something to Jim. Jim, stop calling the show. You're not even in the bracket no more, man. You're such a loser. No one cares about your politics. Stop calling. Go work for Fox Political News. Because you're old, decrepit, and you're a fossil. You're just mad. Steele said, beat you like a Cherokee drum. Because Steele's butt hurts. And so nothing about you when it comes to playing sports is all a lie, Jim. That guy told the truth. What happened, Jim? I'm going to sue Paul. You know what? You're a loser, Jim. You ain't man enough to take me on a phone shoot. Hope you're listening. You pathetic crybaby loser. Now, what's your thoughts on Jim Fisher, Paul?
So we have Jim and Matt from San Antonio in that first matchup there. Cat Daddy and Chaplain Mac. Andre and Charlie. And Jerome and Miss Pat. We'll reveal some of the winners of the first bracket that was held yesterday a little bit later on. Bryson is in Tennessee. Hello, Bryson.
Hey, Coach Feinbaum. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener, man. It's really good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I had a quick question. What do you think Coach Hopple's going to have to do in year three to push Tennessee for an SEC spot, SEC championship spot, or maybe a playoff spot?
Well, I'm not sure it's going to come this year. I think he over-exceeded, or he really went beyond what anyone predicted last year. And this year, I think somewhere in the same vein, but I'm not sure Tennessee is quite there yet to make that next step, to get over the Georgia hump. Now, the game will be in Knoxville, so that does add to the possibility. And the schedule is manageable, not impossible. But I think Tennessee, with another recruiting class, though, could be primed to make a run next year, especially with a 12-team playoff. Harden is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Harden.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Hey there. Thank you. Well, glad to have you on.
Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to apologize if y'all already went over this and talked in extent or anything, but I take care of my dad pretty full time. He's on hospice, so I don't get to, you know, watch your show as often as I used to. But my question is, with the three SEC teams in the NCAA tournament, what's the chances that all three of them make the Final Four?
Well, I think the chances of two making it are pretty good. I think three are. I mean, I think that's a real long shot when you consider the number of things that have to go right, but I don't think it's impossible to think two could make it.
Okay, and secondly, if Nick Smith can get to the potential that everybody thought he could get to and starts playing, what's the chances that they, you know, could, you know, possibly beat UConn and maybe UCLA, who will probably be a favorite over Gonzaga?
Yeah, I mean, I think unfortunately for Arkansas, they're on the tougher side.
Yes,
but listen, they've already beaten the best team on that side. So let's not get carried away with UConn. You know, Kansas was the team that so many people thought was going to get there. So I think Arkansas is okay. I think everybody was raving about UConn, but I think Arkansas is capable. I mean, listen, they have pulled upset after upset over these last two NCAA tournaments. You don't get to the Sweet 16 by buying a lottery ticket. Let's check in with Mark next. Hey, Mark, go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, I was doing some thinking about your program, how you might could add to it.
Okay, well, we're all ears.
Okay. I was thinking on weekends, have a toll-free number set up with a time limit. People can call in and voice their opinions. Y'all could screen them on Monday, and the ones that you feel worth calling back, you call the audience.
You know, a lot of shows do that, Mark, where they only use tape calls. They edit them, and it conforms to a tight period of time. But I'm a big believer in live conversation. To me, it can become stilted, but it's also unpredictable.
Well, the real kicker would be the ones that y'all say did not feel worthy to call back. You could always make an album and pay y'all's legal fees y'all going through.
That's a good point. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Paul, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you.
I'm on the phone, sweetheart. 1 second. Tennessee tomorrow. I actually live down here in Florida right near FAU. And, of course, a lot of these people going crazy trying to root for the underdog, which they only have 3 losses. They are a really good team. But I definitely think we can drag them in the mud and take them in the deep water. If our defense continues to play like we do, I think we'll definitely get past FAU. And then, second, Paul, you probably don't remember. You talked to a lot of different people. But my father played quarterback at Auburn. And we were watching the XFL recently, and we're looking at ourselves like, is that Hines Ward? And realized Hines Ward's one of the head coaches of the team. And as we were watching it, we really thought the kickoff was almost revolutionary. And we both looked at each other and said, that's the future of football. So as a caller and fan of the show.
So explain this to me, because I have not seen a kickoff of an what happens during the kickoff?
So the kicker is probably 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and the two teams are 10 yards apart, and then 20 yards behind them is the guy receiving the ball. The kicker kicks the ball, and the people on the line of scrimmage cannot move until the guy catches the ball.
Right.
And regardless of, you know, you can go watch it yourself. The biggest thing, Paul, is as a fan of your show, I want you to invite Hines Ward on your show. Because first, he's a SEC legend, even though I'm a Tennessee fan. I have to acknowledge he's one of the best players I've seen in my lifetime in the SEC, even if he's a dog. But he's a head coach of the XFL. He would have a lot of credibility in that subject.
Okay.
When you talk about rule changes. You know, could you see something?
Yeah, no,
like
I've interviewed Hines before. I didn't realize what he was doing. I guess I need to start watching the XFL. But that's a great suggestion. Hey, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. And best to your dad. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Some really great guests coming up here in the next couple of hours. We'll also update the caller bracket right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Black Hat Region, we have some news to share with you. Legend, an easy winner over Chris. Mitch, you have to call this an upset. Mitch has knocked out John from Louisville. All the experts said John. And look at this. Jeff is gone. Susie Q, the teachers union, got together and all of her former students, and Jeff is gone, just like his favorite team. And JK stomps Kathy easily. This is the Bud region that we'll be dealing with next. Larry, the number one seed. How about DJ and Trey, Augie and Hugh from Deep Gap, Squirrel and Melissa? I don't expect too many upsets in this region. Yeah, the closest contest right now is Augie and Hugh from Deep Gap. Let's get back to the calls, and Eric is up next. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to elaborate on the stuff I was reading on ESPN, you know, talking about maybe cutting some people. They're going to use the same format y'all use on that. The best caller format.
Yeah, you know, I saw that article too. I don't know what kind of format they're going to use, but I hope they're judicious.
Disposable is what the word they use, whatever that means. So every right. job is disposable. But no, I heard the call yesterday, Jim. You know, he was talking about tweeting and stuff. You know, Paul's losing his job, and that's probably where he got that from, I'd imagine. I mean, I don't think he's got any inside track more than anybody else does. But that's just my style, and I appreciate it, Bud.
Thank you very much. So Larry, who's the number one seed in the Bud region, in the Bud Regional. Larry, good afternoon.
Yes. I'm a happy camper. Hey, a vote for me is a Bud Light for you.
That's a good strategy there, Larry.
You like that motto?
I like it.
Yeah, man. As long as we can keep you from corrupting this election, we'll be okay.
Larry, I can tell you that we let the people decide in the first go around.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Pine Bomb. You're a solicitator.
Larry, you're currently up. You have a 75% of the votes right now. So I think we are closer to clearing you a winner over Todd, even before it gets going.
I know. He's my church buddy. Woo! Too bad, Todd. That's the way it goes, brother. The queen to the top, Jack. I hate to rub it in, Todd.
Larry,
but,
if you don't mind me saying,
it.
I felt like you probably didn't really deserve a number one seed. I would have had you a little lower.
Oh, really? Really, Fine Bomb? I never even won none of this stuff.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how you got the number one seed over Squirrel.
I know, because people like me, you don't, because you never have. Because I got more pull than you. I got more clout. I'm better looking. I got, what are you talking about? I got more women down here on the river in the summertime. You ain't, man, come on, Paul. Look at you, brother. I'm sorry. You know, you skinny little thing, bald-headed. Come on.
Larry, I'm trying to improve my self-image and get a little confidence, and you're shattering me.
I can't help it. I try to tell the truth.
I mean, you're like the guy that walks by and there's a one-legged frog, and you just decide to stomp him out.
Yeah, get this stuff out of my
Come
hey,
on,
check
Larry.
It out. I'm
just now trying to get back to where I feel like I feel good about myself again. And you called me ugly, bald-headed, and what was the other phrase?
Well, if you turn sideways, stick out your tongue, you look like a zipper.
Okay, I'm going to just act like this didn't happen. Hey, by the way, Larry, we just checked the voting. You're now down against Todd.
Oh, yo, see that? You crooked thing. Not counting your crooked man. I told you, I'm 5'11 and a half and mean as, just beautiful body.
Larry, Larry, listen, I'm glad you're still, Larry, I'm glad you're still alive and kicking. That's the most important thing.
No, I am 5'11 and a half. I'm like, watch that quarterback, Alabama, and the bro going in the bro. No, Bryce Young.
No, you're taller than, listen, you're at least an inch taller than Bryce Young, maybe an inch and a half.
He said, that's why I always say 5'11 and a half. You don't want to lose that half. You know what I mean?
Bryce Young barely towers over Nick Saban.
I know. They say it's going to hurt him, but take a look at that little bitty fella runs right out there. What's his name? That plays for that barn, I can't remember. You know, old Betty guy. What's his name? That quarterback for the pros.
The little bitty guy. I really don't remember, but we'll find. Thanks for the call. How about Johnny B in Alabama? Hello, Johnny B.
I get to follow Larry the Legend.
You do.
Larry's putting you down. That picture of him looks like you had a possum in the truck and it stuck its head out the window going about 80. He ain't got no reason to talk about you.
No.
I was telling the guy, after seeing that presser yesterday with Saban and the way you've been on these folks, I went to the Pig and bought two boxes of Cheerios, good dry Cheerios, because y'all are acting like somebody peed in y'all. Some of these calls, I don't blame you, though.
Well, Johnny B., thanks for enlightening us with that. Let's check out Jamie up next. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for taking my call. Paul, I was calling to inform the Auburn Nation today that one of their past players has passed away this morning, Jimmy Spigner. He was a offensive guard. Jimmy's my uncle, and Danny Spigner is my dad. They played side-by-side together at Auburn in the 70s.
Yeah.
In the late 60s, early 70s, but both blocked for Pat Sullivan. But I just wanted to let the people know that Jimmy did pass away this morning at 6 o'clock. And, you know, he was just a great Auburn man, and we're all going to miss him.
Well, Jamie, thank you. I remember I didn't know Jimmy when he played, but I knew Pat very well, and I remember him talking about Jimmy a lot. And I am so sorry to hear that. And please, our best wishes and deepest sympathy to you and your family. We really, really appreciate that, and we're so sorry to hear the news. We'll take a short break. We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, man.
Good afternoon.
I was going to call and remind you about my old man. We had talked about the Notre Dame Alabama game. So I'm hanging out with my old man a little earlier ago, and he wants me to write down every game and the time that happens. And I miss one game, and he says, Larry, this is not the Sweet 14. I'm like, dang. So long story short, then he said, who plays after this? I was like, we have to let some games play.
Larry, let me give some thought to that because I'm not 100% sure what you were asking me. Roy is up next in Bristol, Tennessee. Hello, Roy.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to share a thing.
Charlie Trippi was my favorite player when I was in high school in Georgia. Wally Butts was the coach there. John Rice was the quarterback. Joe Geary was the running back. And George Jernigan was the place kicker. Herb St. John was one of the guards. But they were all on that team. And there was a big controversy going on there in Georgia that North Carolina had a running back, Charlie Choo Choo Justice, who was better than Charlie Trippi. And it became quite a controversy there in Georgia. And it was a funny thing. They happened to be set up to meet in, I believe it was in the Sugar Bowl. But anyway, they were going to meet, and that was to be a big contest between the two, Charlie Choo Choo Justice and Charlie Trippi. And there was a freight train coming down from the north going into Georgia, and somebody on the side of it had written the words, "Look out, Trippi, Justice is coming." And that was kind of always a story that we told and related to and had a lot of fun about it. So I thought I'd just share it with you.
Well, Charlie, Charlie Trippi, and I mean, I've never saw him play, but I've heard legendary stories about both Charlie and Choo Choo Justice. Thanks for sharing that. You be well. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
So I move on.
You advance.
And those who know tell me I was losing going into the nighttime.
You were, yeah.
No,
by the way, I mean, this was a considerable upset. Most of us thought John would move on, but hey, congratulations, Mitch! First big upset in the tournament.
You know why I won, don't you?
I do not.
Freaks come out at night.
Well, now you take on legend.
Well, I'm going to lose the legend, but this gives him a chance to finally beat Clemson again since the last time we played.
It's been a while.
I mean, he's going to probably put a whooping on me like we put on them the last time. But
Mitch, don't worry about that. You still have a couple of days to savor and celebrate the win. Let's check out David in Mississippi. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
This is David Stevens over in Oxford, Mississippi.
Sure, David.
And just want to tell you, we like your show, like watching you every week and everything.
Thank you
very
much.
And you bring out a lot of good points. And I just want to tell you, and hopefully you can brag on our Coach Yo and the Ole Miss ladies basketball teams over here at the University of Mississippi.
Yeah, we had a great conversation with her on Monday, right after her team beat Stanford, and we're all pulling for Coach Yo and the Rebels. Thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. Let's check out Joseph in Knoxville. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, guy. I just want to ask Paul about what he thinks about what Tennessee's doing now with the men, the women, and like the football team.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, the women, in fact, have been probably really surprising everyone with their dominance. Rick Barnes' team over Duke the other day was maybe the story of the weekend, even though it wasn't the biggest upset. It may have been the most significant victory in terms of perception. And obviously the football program is making a lot of noise. Thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate that. Jim is in Arkansas. You're on the air. Hello, Jim.
Yes. Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Jim, we're doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm a first-time caller. I love your show.
Thank you.
The reason I'm calling is this, that I know you was at the SEC tournament, and I know you watched Arkansas play. Did you get a sense of why Joe's opinion is not getting any playing time? I think that he will be another Pat Bradley if he could get the playing time.
Wow, that's quite a compliment.
Well, in fact, I think Nick Smith should come off the bench and time to relieve Joe's opinion.
Listen, I'll make sure I'll make sure Musk gets that suggestion. Thank you very, very much. Trey, what about it? You're in Arkansas, too.
Yeah, Paul, I was just wanting to say the Razorbacks are going to take, you know, UConn to the cleaners tomorrow.
You feel good, huh, Joseph?
You feel good, Trey,
right?
Yeah, baby. Defense travels, and before anybody says anything about Adamo Sanego, or however you say his name, I got three guys. I got Kermani Johnson, Makai Mitchell, Mikael Mitchell. And then those perimeter guys, Jordan Walsh, Anthony Black, Devo Davis. Arkansas is going to win.
Well, I hope you're right. It would be a major upset, but then again, Arkansas has already had a couple of major upsets. The win over Kansas stunned everyone from the national scene. Thank you very, very much. Some great games tomorrow, Arkansas being one of them. We'll take a break here. A lot of guests remaining. We will talk to John Wertheim. I've written a really interesting article that we'll tell you more about in a few minutes about the demise of local sports anchors. Every market had that guy, big cities and small, that owned the town for many, many years, and now they're all seemingly fading away. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.